And it's those words, "Is it well with thee," that I want us to consider for a little time this evening, because that type of a question is certainly one that we have been asking with much more feeling over recent weeks and months than maybe we've ever done before, because of the circumstances that we have been living through, and even the dangers of COVID-19, and sadly people who have taken ill and lost their lives as a result of it. It's certainly a question, if you're meeting somebody and you're asking them, are they well, that you're doing it with much more feeling, much more intent than maybe you normally would. Sometimes we have a kind of a conversation opener that we say something, asking them about how they are, but as I say, it's really just more of a conversation opener than it is really interested in their well-being. And yet, because of these circumstances over recent months, when you do meet up with someone, either meet them face to face if you're out, or even ring them up or contact them on by some other form of media today, and you're asking them about their health or their how they are, their family or whatever, you certainly, I think, are doing it with much more feeling, much more intent. You're more interested than normal. And that's what made me think about this particular question and how the prophet here sends his servant to meet with this woman. He saw her coming, as I say. He knew her. He had often been in their home, so she was not a stranger to him. And therefore, he was able to make her out at some distance. And he knew that she had some matter upon her heart, because it wouldn't be the normal practice for her to be traveling such a distance and to be coming and seeking the prophet. So that's why he sent his servant. And he said to the servant, "Now run, make haste and go and meet her and ask her this question. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And what's even more remarkable is the answer that that woman gave. Because as you find there in that verse, 2 Kings 4 and verse 26, she said, "It is well." And yet this chapter tells us at that very time, for she had left her child was dead. He had died upon her knees that very day. And then she had made haste to the prophet to tell him that he might cry unto God in her behalf. So even though in those circumstances she was able to say, "It is well," one answer really answered those three questions. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she said, "It is well." Now that tells me that she was looking at the situation more than just in a human way. Because if we just look at that situation, humanly speaking, it was not well. The child had lost its life. So it wasn't well. There was sorrow, heartbreak. The chapter tells us that the son was out with the father in the field, and he took ill. Father sends him in to the home. His mother nurses him, and it tells us that he passed away. So humanly speaking, physically speaking, it was not well at all. Sorrow has come, trouble has come into this family. So the fact that this woman answers this question in the way that she did, and she says, "It is well," suggests to me that she was thinking more than just humanly speaking. She was thinking about it in a wider perspective. She was thinking about it in the light of eternity. In the light of eternity, she could say, it's well with us all. And that's how I want to look at this question for a little time this evening as we're gathered here for this drive-in service. How she looked at this in a higher way. And that's what I want us to consider. Is it well with thee? Yes, certainly. We're interested in your physical well-being and that you have escaped the worst of the COVID-19, and we're conscious that there are people around about us and those that we know, maybe in your family or friends, who have caught this virus. And as we know, sadly, some known to us have passed away as a result of catching this virus. So we're certainly interested in your physical well-being. But as a minister of the gospel, I'm charged to think about something else, and that is to consider your spiritual well-being. And that's why I want to draw your attention for a little while to this question, as it is asked in the Word of God, is it well with thee? And if you're able to say in the physical, yes, it's well with me and well with my family too, well, then that is good news indeed. But then move on to the spiritual. Is it well with us spiritually? Is it well with us spiritually? Is it well with our soul? And that's what's going to bring us to even the words of that chorus of that hymn that Matthew was singing just a little while ago. Because that hymn says, it is well. It is well with my soul. There's a very tragic set of circumstances behind that hymn. I don't know if you're interested in hymn history and how hymns came to be written, but there's a very tragic set of circumstances behind the writing of that hymn. The man who wrote it was Horatio Spafford. He was a very prominent, successful businessman in Chicago. He was a friend of D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist. And he had a lot of money. In fact, all of his money was invested in property in Chicago. And then the great Chicago fire came and ruined all that he had and all the money that he had ploughed into property, and that which he was living off all came to naught virtually overnight. But that wasn't the worst of the tragedies that came upon him. 2 years after that, 1873, if my memory serves me right, they were planning a family trip to England. D.L. Moody was over in England preaching. And as I say, this man, Horatio Spafford, was a great friend of Moody. So they wanted to come on a family holiday to try and get away from Chicago and some of the memories that were there. And also their friend, D.L. Moody, was preaching in England, and they thought it would be a very opportune occasion to meet up with him and give him some support as he was preaching in various places around England. At the very last minute, some business arose. Actually, it was planning issues regarding some of the property that had been destroyed in the Chicago fire, and it hindered Horatio Spafford from going with his wife and getting to the coast and getting the boat that will sail across the Atlantic Sea. He told his wife to go ahead and their four daughters. So they launched out on the boat. He was at home trying to sort out this last minute business that had arisen, and his wife and their four daughters was making the journey on to England. But the ship that they were on collided in the Atlantic with an iron hauler, and 226 people lost their lives. And those four daughters, Horatio Spafford's four daughters, all drowned as a result of that tragedy on the Atlantic Ocean. The survivors were picked up. They were actually brought to the coast of Wales. And when they were disembarked, his wife found a telegraph station, and she telegraphed her husband, and she just telegraphed two words to him. She said, saved alone. Just two words in a telegram. Saved alone. And when Horatio Spafford received the telegram, he immediately left all of his business, went to the coast, got the next boat that he could. And the story's told that he sailing across the Atlantic near to the very spot where the collision had taken place, he penned the words of that hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, and there's the reference to the tragedy, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And that was the words that he wrote near to that very spot on the Atlantic Ocean where that tragedy that took away his four children, and he made the journey on to England and met up with his wife. Later on, that was really a poem that was put to a tune by a man, Philip Bliss. In fact, he named the tune. If you're into your music and you recognize tunes or you look up tunes, the tune of that hymn that Matthew was singing is actually named after the vessel, the ship that the wife and four daughters was traveling in. I think it's called the Ville de la Havre. The Ville de la Havre. And that's the name of the tune. And it was called, Philip Bliss called it after the name of the ship. But it's those words, and they tie in, you see, with this text of scripture that's before us here. Is it well with thee? You see, Horatio Spafford was thinking about it more than just what was happening at that particular moment. Even the circumstances, tragic as they were, that had befallen him and his wife as a family, and their four daughters being drowned in that tragedy. He was able to look at the broader picture. He was able to look at it in the light of eternity, and he said, "It is well. It is well with my soul." And men and women, that's how we must look at things. Yes, it is good to be in health in this life, but what about the light of eternity? Is it well with our souls? I want to draw that question to your attention under three simple headings. I want you first of all to consider that in a way it is a distressing question, because it implies not only the possibility but the certainty that we are not well, that we are not well. Is it well with thee? If we ask that in the spiritual sense, there is a reason to be asking that question, because the Bible tells us that by nature it is not well with us. Let me read to you some words out of Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It says, "The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." That was the Lord's commentary upon the nation of Israel, spiritually speaking. He wasn't referring to their physical health. He was referring to how they stood spiritually before God. And he looked down upon them and he said, "The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint." And then he goes on to break it down even more. "From the sole of the foot unto the head, there is no soundness in it." You see, the Bible describes sin as a sickness that has entered the body of all of mankind. And you know the what happens when a sickness enters into a body, especially an aggressive sickness of some sort, and what happens to the body, and ultimately it's going to die. Well, the Bible takes that picture and describes sin in that way. And spiritually before God, we are sick with sin. And that's why I say this question is a distressing question in this sense. It's implying something. It's telling us that there is indeed a sickness that afflicts us all, that every one of us are afflicted with. It doesn't matter who we are, male or female. Doesn't matter whether we're church going or not. Doesn't matter whether we're moral and upright. None of those things matter in this regard. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is something that is common to all of mankind. And it says this sickness of sin. So the question then, you see, is very pertinent. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? Because it reminds us that by nature we are indeed sick with sin. But not only is it a distressing question, I want you to consider as well that it is a discerning question. The word "well," "is it well with thee," is a very well known word. It's actually the word "shalom." And we maybe recognize that word more as the word for peace. And really that's what Elisha was sending his servant to ask. Is it well with thee? Is it peaceable with thee? Is all well? Is all at peace in your life and in your home? So the prophet is using this word, that shalom, that we recognize as the word for peace. And when we come to consider this statement, this question, is it well with thee? We're thinking particularly about, is it well between us and God? Is it well between our souls and our judge, the one with whom we have to do, the one whom we're going to stand before someday? We're going to meet him. We're going to stand before this God that has revealed himself as the living and the true God. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Men and women, there's an after this. And the after this includes you and I standing before this God. We will meet him face to face. So that's why the question needs to be asked. Is it well with us? Is it well with thee? Is it well with me? Is my soul at peace with God? That's really what is in view here. when the prophet sent the servant and said, "Run, make haste, go and meet that woman and ask her, is it well, is all at peace with thee?" That reminds us, you see, that Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. Ephesians, in the New Testament, chapter 2, and verse 14, it says there that Christ is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace in two ways. He first of all has made peace by the blood of his cross, and then he also brings peace to an individual. That's what brought Jesus Christ into this world. That's what took him to the cross. It was that he might make peace, because it's not well with our souls. There is this sickness that affects every one of us and will bring us down to a lost eternity. But Jesus Christ came into this world that he might go to the cross and there make peace. Something had to be done to make peace. He couldn't speak peace. He had to make peace. You see, he spoke and the world was created in 6 days, came into existence by the word of his power. But he couldn't speak peace in order to save souls. He had to make peace. And he had to make peace by going to the cross and by suffering for sin. And there is that statement that's made over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, where it tells us there that he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin for us. There's Christ making peace. He was made sin. The Holy One, the Righteous One, the one who even his enemies, Pilate and Herod and Judas, all acknowledged. There was no fault in him. "I have betrayed the innocent man," Judas Iscariot said. Even the centurion at the cross said, "Surely this is a righteous man." The Holy One becomes the sinful one. He takes sin upon himself in order to make peace. He dealt, you see, with that which causes the sickness of sin within our souls. And there at the cross, he made peace by giving his life, by shedding his blood. And that's why there's power to cleanse from sin. And then that brings us to think about the second part there. He now is the bringer of peace. Having made peace, then he brings peace. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. There's that wonderful title that is given to him in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. He's the Prince of Peace, in the sense that he is the author of peace. The Bible calls him the Prince of Life. He's the author of life. He's the one who gives life. The physical life that we have is given by him. The spiritual life, certainly, that an individual has comes from him. So he's the Prince of Life in the sense he's the giver of life. So when the Bible says he's the Prince of Peace, then he's the giver of peace. He's the bringer of peace. He's the one who came proclaiming peace. And that's why the gospel is to be preached. That's why there's gospel meetings, open airs. That's why there's evangelism that takes place, because this message of peace is to be preached to a world that needs it. A world that's perishing, that's sick with sin, that's not well, spiritually speaking, before God. This message of peace is to be preached. Men and women are to hear about it. Boys and girls are to hear about it. And they are to know there's one who can bring peace to them. So it's a very discerning question as well when we think about the words of it, "Is it well with thee?" One final thought. It's a defining question. It's a defining question. The answer to this question this evening will tell us where we stand with God. Is it well with our soul? Can we answer with this woman when she said, "It is well"? Can we answer with Horatio Spafford when he wrote those words, "Though sea billows roll, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul"? Whatever the circumstances, and I don't know your life and circumstances, and maybe you have burdens and cares that no one else knows about really, but are you able to say, "It is well with my soul"? Because if you are able, and if I am able to say, "It is well," then the Bible says it will be well not only in life, but it will be well throughout all of eternity. It will be well with us that day we stand before God. It will be well with us that day we stand before God. I've quoted the first part there of Hebrews chapter 9, And it's verse 27 that tells you that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. But I want you to think of the next verse, because sometimes that first verse just gets quoted on its own. And yes, it certainly can do. It's a very challenging statement of Scripture. It is appointed unto men once to die, or it is appointed unto mankind once to die, because man is used there as a generic term for humanity. It is appointed unto us once to die, but after this the judgment. That in itself is challenging. But then I want you to listen to the next verse, because it's connected. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, that unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Yes, there is the reality that we will die. There is the reality that we'll stand before God. But do you see that word, that opening word of the next verse? So Christ was once offered. You see, it's making the connection that Jesus Christ came into this world to provide peace for all who come to know him, so that it will go well with us. So that instead of dreading that day when we stand before God, we'll rejoice in it. We'll be looking forward to it. It'll be a day of anticipation. It's a day of gladness. And every child of God, every Christian, everyone who's saved is looking forward to that day when they will meet Christ. That day does not hold any dread or any fear for the person who trusts in Jesus Christ. Because we can say, it is well. It is well with my soul. And therefore it'll go well with me that day that I stand before God. And may we be able to answer like this woman answered, it is well. It's a defining question. It's a very personal question. It defines where we personally are. Do you notice how it was asked in those three parts by the servant? Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? Personal, individual inquiry. Is it well with each one? And my friend, as I close these few remarks just now, I would make it as personal as I possibly can. And I would ask you, is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Is it well between you and the Lord? How will it go with you that day when you and I will stand before God? Can you say, it is well with my soul? No, I trust and pray that you can. If you cannot say that and you're troubled this day about your soul, then you need to do a simple thing. You need to call upon Jesus Christ to save you. And you can do that just now where you are. You can just in the quietness of your own heart lift up your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I acknowledge it is not well with my soul, and I need Jesus Christ to save me and to cleanse me from my sins. The Bible says that if you call, he will answer. He will hear you. He will hear you. No matter who you are, he will hear you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I trust that if it is not well, that you will do that simple thing. Oh, come to know Jesus Christ. And then be able to say, it is well. It is well with your soul. May the Lord bless his word this evening.